In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. And I need to talk about what it says in Luke. The angel Gabriel was sent to a virgin. Her name was Miriam, Miriam of Nazareth. He said, "You shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great. He will reign over the house of David forever, and his kingdom will have no end." And Miriam of Nazareth looked puzzled and said, "How shall this be, since I am a virgin?" And this is the secret. The Holy Spirit shall overshadow you, and the power of the Most High shall come upon you. Therefore, the Holy Child to be born shall be called Great, the Son of God. The secret of Jesus, the secret of Mary, is that she is the overshadowed one. The Holy Spirit shall overshadow you. The church preaches very well. The church tells us that Mary is the model of the church. But you see, unless we are overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, I'm going to tell you, we have a model, but we do not and are not like her. The secret of the coming of the Lord was that she is the overshadowed virgin mother of God, overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. And unless we are overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, we have no part of Jesus. Unless we are overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, Jesus is just an historical figure. Unless we are overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, Jesus is just a name to be taken in vain. Oh, the Holy Spirit shall overshadow you, Miriam. And he, as he overshadows you, he will form within your womb Jesus. You see, it's all so simple, okay? It's all so simple. I've been asked by so many people, why do not people preach Jesus? Because they are not overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is no part of their lives. You see, because when the Holy Spirit overshadows you, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, the scripture says, when the Spirit of God comes, he shall glorify me. This is what Jesus said. So how can you glorify Jesus if you are not the overshadowed person? If you are not the person that is overshadowed by the Spirit of God? Oh, you'll preach, yes, ragtime, yeah. You'll talk out of your hat. You'll mention the saints. You'll mention this and you'll mention that, but not anything to do with Jesus. Why? Because you've not been overshadowed. You've not wanted that experience that Mary needed in order for Jesus to come. She was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. And that shadow was brighter than a trillion suns. That shadow is God himself overshadowing the Virgin of Nazareth. I tell you, it's really simple. We're not into anything very, very complex. We're talking simplicity. We're talking the simple gospel message that when one is overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, one begins to know the things of God. One begins to speak the things of God. And one begins to live the things of God. When one is not overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, what we have is a business. It's a church that is an institution, that is a business. And nothing happens. Nothing happens. I do want to thank God that the Lord has chosen me to be overshadowed. But I have to continually be overshadowed. It's not that you're overshadowed once. You have to continually be overshadowed. And you might ask, how I know that I'm overshadowed? Because people write to me and they tell me how the Lord has become real in their lives through the radio, how Christ has become their Savior through the preaching, how they have been healed. It's not me. It's the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit. It's the overshadowing of the Spirit of God over a person's life. That's all it is. It's Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, you're talking Pentecost at Christmas. Well, I'm telling you, they were overshadowed that day. Oh, the Spirit of God came upon them. Overshadowed by the Spirit of God. Our Blessed Mother was there at Pentecost. Do you know she had already received her personal Pentecost in Nazareth? Do you know she was overshadowed 33 years before? But now, who will be overshadowed? Who wants to be overshadowed by the Spirit of God? You know, God will choose anyone to proclaim His Word. He will choose anyone that chooses to be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. Because when one is overshadowed by the Spirit of God, then we have the centrality of Jesus Christ. There is no centrality of Jesus Christ unless one is overshadowed. There is no forming of Jesus Christ in an individual unless one is overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. There is no real community that is called Christian unless the community is overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus. The Holy Spirit forms Jesus in the womb of the Virgin Mary, forms Jesus in the hearts of men and women, forms Jesus. That's what He does. He shall glorify Me. And He shall convict you of your sin. What does it say in Matthew? You shall call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. The Holy Spirit convicts people of sin. Conviction has nothing to do with condemnation. Conviction causes us to repent. Conviction of sin causes us to run to the cross. That's what conviction does. See, the Holy Spirit makes present the name of Jesus, glorification of Jesus, and the vocation of Jesus. He shall save us from our sins. Who is the forgiveness of sin now? It is the Holy Spirit making present the blood of Jesus. He is the forgiveness of our sins. Because nothing is done apart from the Holy Spirit in this dispensation. Because it is not at this time that we see Him face to face, Jesus. We see Him in a mirror dimly through faith. Hallelujah. Thank God for faith. So the Holy Spirit is the forgiveness of our sins, making present the cross, the precious blood of Jesus. That's why St. Catherine of Siena said when she went to confession, she was going under the blood, that the Holy Spirit would make present the blood of Jesus. I think the church, and myself too, we need to listen to what we preach. We need to listen to what we teach. If she is the model of the church, then she is the model of the priest. If she is the model of the church, then she is the model of the people. If she is the model of the church, then she is the model. And she is wed to the Holy Spirit. How can this be? How can I conceive? I'm a virgin. The Holy Spirit shall overshadow you, and the power of the Most High shall come upon you. How simple. How simple. And yet, it's a mystery to most people. They have no idea. No idea. No idea. No idea about this wonderful Holy Spirit who forms Jesus in Mary, who forms Jesus in us, who forms Jesus in the church, who forms Jesus at the Eucharist. It's all about the Holy Spirit. Oh, I had a teacher once. His name was Father Edovan. He's now a bishop. And he said to me in one of the classes, he said, Tom, he said, you are spirit-centered. I said, oh, no, Father Edovan, I'm not spirit-centered. The Spirit glorifies Jesus. I am Christ-centered. I made him shut up, I'll tell you. I made him shut up. I am not spirit-centered. I am Jesus Christ-centered. Because the Holy Spirit always glorifies Jesus. That's what he does. Anytime you see a miracle happening at Holy Rosary, the woman who hasn't walked in 10 years now walking, it's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit making alive the healing ministry of Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit. We can do nothing apart from the Holy Spirit. Now we're going to look at the baby in the manger. Now this baby in the manger is the Son of God and the Son of Mary. He is the Son of God and the Son of Mary. And I want to tell you that the Bible tells us that the law came through Moses. I want you to think in the manger, that we have two cold pieces of rock. And on this two cold pieces of rock are written the Ten Commandments. Now take those cold pieces of rock and put them toward your heart and see what it feels like. For the law came through Moses. And you know what? For its time, it was wonderful. And now, rather than two rocks that have written the Ten Commandments, you put them down now in the manger and pick up the baby and place the baby toward your heart. Listen to him. Listen to him. Listen to him. Feel his warm body. Feel his warm body. Not two cold tablets, but a warm, beautiful, infant child. No longer two cold tablets, for this child has come to save us from our sins. Child is destined for the rise and fall of many in Israel. A sword will pierce your soul too, said Simeon to Mary. What is the difference between two cold tablets and one beautiful baby? The forgiveness of our sins. What else? That through him we have eternal life. What else? That through him, we are partakers of the divine nature. What else? That through him, we can do what he did in the power of the Spirit, if we have a degree of faith. Oh, you could go on and on. The law came through Moses, and it was wonderful for its time. But this is what comes through Jesus, grace and truth. And as you look at this beautiful baby, as you hold him in your arms, then look at his mother. They look alike. They have to look alike. She has no husband. He looks like her. Specifically, her eyes, her nose, her lips, her son. He looks like her. But he came to save her as well as us. Oh, not from her sin, but to keep her holy. You know, this baby is wonderful. He's the answer to the problems of the world. For he will grow up and he will give his life on a cross, out of love for you and me. If the church was smart, she'd be singing the praises of Jesus Christ every day. Because we have nothing but Jesus Christ and the poor in all reality. If the church was smart, she would be raising her preachers to proclaim the name of Jesus from the north to the south and the east to the west. If the church was smart, she would make sure that her preachers were overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I want to thank God that doctors don't have the same training as most seminarians in America, because they would be sued for malpractice. It would be a wonderful thing for us to go to our priest or to our deacons and say, if I were a pagan, how would you introduce me to Jesus? And to our ministers, how would you bring me to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? Would you tell me to go to church? I don't think so. I don't think that's the way it's done. But I was taught that in the second grade by a little Dominican sister who left the convent, and I hope she's happy. But you want to know what? She told us that Jesus was like a beggar knocking on the door of our heart. And he wanted to come in and forgive her. She told us that in the second grade. How simple. And yet, most preachers have no idea. How would I lead a person to Jesus? I have done it so many times, you know. So many times. I don't care if they're bishops, if I'm praying with them. Because there's always more of Jesus. But you see, we don't know the basics. If you don't know the basics, you don't know anything else. Why? It's all about being overshadowed. That Holy Spirit is so necessary in our lives today. If we want the church to thrive, we must look at Mary, and we must see Mary as the overshadowed one. And if she is the model of the church, let us be like her. Let it be done unto me according to thy word. Come, Holy Spirit. Come and form Jesus within me. Come, Holy Spirit. Come and form Jesus within me. Come, come, for without you I have nothing. Come, Holy Spirit. The simplicity of the gospel, you know, is only, it's the only thing that makes sense. Nothing else makes sense. The simplicity of the gospel, the beauty of the gospel, the beauty of Jesus makes sense. I remember when I was in my first parish, Sacred Heart in North Quincy. There were two churches then. There was the up and the down, but the down was like, it was really, really in Italian, tutta scacciata. It was all broken, all broken. Oh, and my pastor said, oh, Tom, tonight at the midnight mass, you're going to see it so beautiful upstairs, and all the people will come. And I said to him, Father Heary, please, I don't want to be upstairs. I want to go downstairs because I want to preach. He said, but it's so dingy down there. I said, I'm closer to the stable. I'm much closer to the stable down there. Please let me go downstairs. I'll take the crowd that overflows, so I'll be able to preach tonight. And I don't mind being in a church that's dingy and dark because it's closer to the stable. And every year he would allow me to go downstairs and do the preaching. I never did celebrate Mass upstairs at Christmas. I didn't really desire it. You know, it was too much. I wanted to be with people that needed to hear the gospel. And I would preach the gospel, for unto us in the city of David is born a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And you shall find him wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. I wanted to preach about him, because I didn't know when these people last heard the gospel, you see. I don't know if I touched anyone, but at least I was faithful to the gospel message. And I was happy that I didn't have to go upstairs with all the lights and all the poinsettias and all the tinsel, and it just didn't do it for me. That little broken church was my place. It was good enough for me. It was good enough for Jesus. And I could preach the gospel. I know some people would think I'm a little odd. You know, here's your first year as a priest, and go into the middle of that with this glitzy, and the choir singing and practice for the last 4 weeks. Never impressed me. Never did, it still doesn't, unless they're singing with their heart about Jesus. When I was about 22 years old, I'm going to end it there. I had two little boys that I would go to different churches, and we would do little choirs. They were Michael and Bobby Bright. One of them just died. They were the sweetest little children, and we would go and train some kids to sing for Christmas. They had voices like angels. And one of them just died this year. So we pray for the one who died. We pray that he would be in the heart of Jesus. I remember him and his beautiful little brother at, 8 or 9, singing the beautiful songs of Christmas, all about Jesus. You see, I'm not into shows. They don't do anything for me. I'm into the proclamation of the word. I'm into being overshadowed, and boy, do I need it. I'm into proclaiming to people who will listen and to people who will not listen. Because to hear the Word of God, to hear Jesus being proclaimed, is life. For apart from Him, there is no life. He is the Father's only Son, and He gave His life for you, my friend. We pray that the Lord would overshadow you. Father, overshadow your people with the Holy Spirit today. Overshadow your people with the Holy Spirit today. Overshadow your people, especially the desperate, the despairing, the suicidal, with your Holy Spirit today. Overshadow your broken people with your Holy Spirit today, and place within their arms the infant child. Let them feel His heart beating toward their heart. Let them feel His warm body, His loving body. Let them see the mother who adores the child, the mother who is overshadowed, who is the model of the church. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.